announcing his forthcoming resignation, both the Taoiseach and leader of Fianna Fáil. Our first guest in studio this evening has been one of the most passionate and eloquent defenders of Bertie Ahern since all of these troubles about his financial dealings started in September 2006. Senator Owen Harris, welcome to you.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
I feel sick. I'm going through the kind of the death thing, sort of denial first and then anger. I think the public is going to go through the same series of shocks. There's going to be a lot of grief about Bertie Ahern. A few days ago, when I spoke about him here, when Hugh Lennon was standing in for you, there was an extraordinary number of vitriolic texts, and this has been par for the course across the media. I don't know whether they're put in by Fine Gael or whether there's a group of sort of soreheads in Sinn Féin, but there was a virulent group of people out there helping this campaign, especially on the internet. The blogs reached an incredible level of abuse in the last 10 to 15 days. I mean, really bad stuff. And all that's going on. And I think that we should stand back for a minute now from that man tribunal, not to pay tribute to him as a statesman, because, I mean, we're going to be awash in a flood of crocodile tears from politicians and from people in the media who hammered him non-stop, excessively so. I mean, like, there's reporting and there's vendettas. And I think we should stand back and not just... not just weep crocodile tears. I'm not here like as a priest delivering a funeral oration. He's not out yet. I'm more like here, I see myself more like as a detective or investigating magistrate. I want to know how he was murdered. I want to know what was done to bring a man like that to the point where he felt he had to step down.
I watched you on the Late Late Show last Friday night with John Waters and Eamon Dunphy. And the one thing that struck me, by contrast with a year ago before the general election, when you very much read the public mood as against what the media consensus was at the time, that people didn't think it was as big a deal as the media were saying at the time. Last Friday night, you were as passionate and eloquent again as you ever have been. And I don't think that there was a ripple of applause at any stage from the audience. And it struck me that Bertie Ahern had lost the public support. And it was a real sign that it had finished for him. Did you get that feeling that night that you weren't striking home in a way that you had previously in his defence?
No, I mean, as a matter of policy, I never take a blind bit of notice of a studio audience from the Late Late Show question and answer. They could be packed, they could be that. I knew Eamon Dunphy had the mind of the studio audience. But I was happy enough that I was in touch with, if you like, just the majority opinion at home. I believe at home, the general majority opinion last week was a bit against them because of the Gráinne Cruth debacle and the way the media spun it, and it was a spin. But by and large, I felt he held the majority of public opinion. This morning, I believe, of course, there's an enhanced majority of people that are sort of sick that he's gone and the way he went. I don't think the Irish people wanted Bertie Ahern to step down. I don't think he should have had to step down. And I think we have to do a bit of a post-mortem on why
not? Why, do you not think, I mean, the people talking about ethics and standards of public office and about the appropriateness, if you go back to the initial allegations about a Minister for Finance taking money for speaking engagements and the constant drip, drip, drip of new allegations, new revelations, his inability to be able to explain them, was it not all corrosive on his credibility as the Taoiseach?
Well, the media campaign was corrosive. It reminds me of like the Germans, they cut off the water supply to the ghettos and then they cut off food and ended up letting use of public toilets. And then they bringing the cameras there that they were dirty. I mean, the media just abused Bertie Ahern. You hear in the text coming into all radio programs across the airwaves, there's a deep conviction in the public that he was hounded. And that is because the media kept hurling, I mean, extraordinary abuse at him. And I mean, and Fine Gael hurled extraordinary abuse. Words like, you know, thief, cheat, liar, and perjurer were used in the past few days. It's an extraordinary lowering of public opinion. I mean, my old friend John A. Murphy actually queried on Sunday whether or not he was kind of like motivated by kind of by nothing else to do, the morning his mother died, he went back to Belfast. Kind of, what else would he do? I mean, to hear John A. Murphy being dragged down by that level, he dragged himself down by that level of public discourse. That means, I think, that public discourse has become degraded in the Ahern campaign. And there's only one good, I only see one light from it all. I just find the whole thing terribly gloomy and sad. But there is one bright light, and that is that Fianna Fáil have been the first modern Irish political party to find out in modern times that they can defy the media and not push their Taoiseach. I mean, Bertie Ahern was not pushed by his colleagues. It's the first time Fine Gael pushed Alan Jukes, they pushed John Bruton, they pushed Michael Noonan. Fianna Fáil all got rid of Albert Reynolds. Bertie Ahern's cabinet colleagues, particularly like Brian Cowan, the two Lennon brothers, Conor Lennon and Brian, and Willie O'Dea, and Dermot Ahern above all, they stood four square. And there's a spin this morning over in RTÉ that the media and others be holding Ahern and that group to account. That's the group, of course, that should be rewarded, because if Ahern was being wronged, and I believe he's been wronged. I mean, I think I thought he carried huge conviction this morning. George Orwell says, you get the face you deserve at 50. Bertie Ahern's face at 60 or nearly 60 is the face, actually, of an honest man. I mean, there are faces, and we know, I'm not going to name the names in Irish politics, and they bear the marks of their own venery on them, and Bertie Ahern does not. He is actually, he believes himself innocent of charges. He's guilty at most of messing. I believe when all comes out, we found that most of that money that's washed in and out was basically political campaign funds. But in that regard, and I'll finish that bit out, to be nagging about that as the media did, it's like as if you were stopped today by a guard and said, Matt Cooper, I'm charging you with an offence. You hadn't your seatbelt on in 1994. There wasn't seatbelt legislation then, so to speak.
Yeah, but Owen Harris, couldn't it be that the problem isn't about the money that he took back then? The problem is the way that he dealt with it over the last 18 months, and the people who were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt feel that he deceived them. Such as the famous Brian Dobson interview when he said, for the sake of completeness, I'm going to tell you about this. As if, well, that's everything now. I've told you everything there is. Mm. And we discovered, well, that's only a fraction of it. There's way, way more than that.
But you could jump in at any stage into the biopsy of his finances, and you could find at any stage along the line that you'd have something to query about it. Like, I mean, it like more and more comes out. But
it's the lies almost that he told about. It's all the comments that he made. Yeah. We had Fintan O'Toole on the programme here yesterday in his article. I don't know if you saw it in yesterday's Irish Times, where he pointed out a lot of statements that Bertie Ahern made to the Dáil over the last few years, and at the very least they would seem hypocritical.
Well, I'll tell you something, that all the marks of a kind of a 5-minute LexisNexis search by Fintan O'Toole, googled Bertie Ahern and a few more things, and he came up with 6 totally inapposite. I could find 12 other contradictions in Kenny. I'm not going to go down that road. I mean, not because I just don't believe he's corrupt, because there's no evidence.
But why don't you think the media, and there's a lot of text messages coming in having a go at me for coverage on this programme and what I've written in various newspapers and various other people such as Vincent Brown and the Irish Times and various others, and people giving out saying that we were trying to bring him down. Why do you believe that the media would do that? What's the purchase?
Oh, yeah,
the reason for the media to do something
simple.
Like that?
Well, some of the most vindictive section of the media campaign began around 2006 with a series of systematic leaks to and by Frank Connolly, who's very strong Republican radical sympathies. I'm not going to go down that road, but they were crucial in creating a climate. I think the media invested. They sold short. It was a bear market. They sold Ahern short before the election. They were shocked when he won the election. They have a vested interest in proving that there was something wrong. I mean, that's very human. I mean, I'm not going to name out the names. There's half a dozen journalists in this country, you're not one of them, by the way, who actually almost took up permanent residence in various panels, becoming experts on the Mahon Tribune and Bertie Ahern's alleged chicanery. Like, I don't know what they're going to do to, in the way of getting a job as decent reporters. I mean, if they want to really understand planning corruption, they go down to Dungarvan and they do a bit of hard work, or down to Wexford and bang on a few doors and do a bit of work. But it's easier to come up, put your ass in Pat Kenny's seat and sit down and whinge your way through Ahern's, to one day, a tiny biopsy of a whole life. All they ever did was look at a section of his life. And Bertie Ahern's life is bigger than that. Look, when the history of Ireland is written, Mahon will be a footnote, Ahern's critics will be forgotten, and his titanic achievements will still dominate the Irish landscape.
Okay, I've got to bring in